So the epistle for this Vigil Mass of the Resurrection is taken from Colossians chapter 3. Brethren, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, who is your life, then you shall appear with him in glory. We stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and coming, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was as lightning and his raiment as snow. And for fear of him, the guards were struck with terror and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the woman, "Fear not you. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. And going quickly, tell ye his disciples that he is risen. And behold, he will go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have foretold it to you." Please be seated. Light of Christ and glory rising, dispel darkness from heart and mind. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've mentioned to you before, I think 2 years past, just about the whole idea of lighting the candle. And it was something that I thought about as we were outside, attempting to light the candle. That this prayer that is said, talking about how the light of Christ in glory rises. And that is the whole purpose of the Paschal candle, to signify our Lord Jesus Christ, to signify that he is this light to the world. I mean, that is why normally you see that the acolytes bring candles for the reading or the singing of the gospel, because it signifies the word of God. It signifies our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight they didn't, because obviously we have the Paschal candle, which is symbolic of our Lord. That is why it deserves a genuflection when we had the start of Mass, or at the Paschal vigil itself, that the priest or the deacon, that he does, he incenses it, he genuflects to it, because it is representative of our Lord. And that's why I mentioned that during a baptism, if you notice a lot of times after the ascension, the candle is in the baptistry. After our Lord has ascended, we bring the candle to the back, and then we light the baptismal candle from the Paschal candle. Again, signifying that the light that we're handing to the Godfather in the most cases, the light that we're handing to him is our Lord. And so we're giving him this light and saying that now you have received our Lord Jesus Christ. He is present in your soul with sanctifying grace. That is something at baptism that a child receives for the very first time. So both Adam and Genevieve, they received sanctifying grace for the very first time into their soul. And then from there, it builds. It builds with every sacrament. And God willing that all of us, we don't lose that grace of God. Because once we lose that, as I talked in the mission, we are a complete enemy of our Lord. We're an enemy, we've turned our back on God. And so yes, there's no way that we can get to heaven at that point, at that moment. And so for us to realize and to understand just what that light signifies, and that's why I encourage you to always to try to look and to see what the liturgy is trying to explain to us. Because very often we live our lives, we go through our lives, even in a way going through the motions, with our faith, that we don't realize what is there for us, what the church gives to us to contemplate and to think about. And so with the Paschal candle, I mean, this whole idea of the candle signifying our Lord and carrying it into the darkness of even the church, And then finally, when we say the Lumen Christi, the light of Christ and Deo Gratias the third time, well, then the lights come on. But remember, at the second Lumen Christi, all of your candles were lit from the Paschal candle. Again, showing to us that Christ is the light to us. He is the one that would dispel the darkness. And that is what we see in this prayer that is said. Dispel the darkness from our hearts and our minds. Our hearts, because yes, we can be very clouded at times. That our love goes to something else than God. I mean, truly, you married couples, your love is centered in God. At least it should be. So even though, yes, you have given your hand over to another, it is centered upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And then consecrated souls the same way. They give themselves over to our Lord. And so for us to understand that our hearts, we cannot allow it to go towards something else, be drawn towards something else. It must be centered on our Lord, centered on the cross. Because throughout Lent, the liturgy has told us that the cross is our salvation. And with the baptisms, I've even told those that were at the baptisms, when you make the sign of the cross on the child or the adult, it is the reminder to them that this is the sign of your salvation. And that is why even after we make the exorcisms and you make the sign of the cross, it is for the accursed devil to stay away from this soul. Because that they are marked by the sign of the cross. And that mark of the sign of the cross is to show to us that is our salvation. It is the means for us to get to heaven. And so, yes, to dispel the darkness from our hearts, to understand the love that we must have for our Lord and our love, our Lord only. I mean, even to the point of where you see with the apostles, where Peter tells our Lord, well, we have left everything for you. What will we gain? Because our Lord was talking to them about the fact of this young man would not give up his riches. He may have kept all the commandments. He may have thought that he truly loved God. And when he tells our Lord, you know, I've done all of that all my life, our Lord said, okay, well, one thing's lacking. Give up all you have. And he went away. He went away sorrowing. Couldn't do it. And so obviously his love was fixed upon his material things, that he couldn't give them up for our Lord. And our Lord was saddened by that because he felt probably he was a good soul. But yet one thing was lacking of him. So immediately after, St. Peter just says, if it's that hard for a rich man to get to heaven, what's going to happen to all of us? And he said, well, don't forget, Lord, we gave up everything for you. So what do we gain out of this? And our Lord said, well, you gain 100-fold in this life, but life everlasting. And so that is where you give up father, you give up mother, you give up brother, you give up sister, you give up all of these things. Not that our families are against God, but if they were, you would have to give them up. But yes, normally, God willing, the families will then be the support for those maybe that would give their lives to God. That they would have the backing of their family. And so that is where our Lord is meaning, that our heart has to be given to Him, in Him alone. And that we must dispel the darkness that is in our hearts. But then also the darkness that is in our minds. How easy it is for us to be confused, to not have the right idea, to not have even in a sense the right intentions. And so that is something that we must try to understand also, the study of the faith and how important that is to us. To understand our faith in order to love God more. No one can love something that they do not know. And so it is an obligation for us to study and to know our faith, to learn more. And that is where we have to try to understand when in the Paschal Vigil ceremony, which is so rich, it has so much to it. that we've got to understand what the church is reminding us of. And even when you look at, like, the epistle, I mean, St. Paul is encouraging us to rise above the things of this world, to rise above that so that we can go to our Lord. And so through this Mass too, it is, yes, this great understanding that we have to separate ourselves from the things that will draw us down, the things that will lead us away from God, to where we must understand what God is calling us to. I mean, for us to spend the entire time of Lent to realize that we spent this time in trying to be closer to God. And that's why I encourage you during the time period of Lent to realize that the sacrifices, all of these different things that you do, they are meant for you to go more toward God. It's not just like a test of strength. Let's see what I can give up. I mean, it's meant for us to purify ourselves. That is what mortification is all about. We mortify our senses, we mortify ourselves, our will. Even if we have to break our will, if it is only inclined to doing what we want. And that is where we must fortify ourselves. Fortify ourselves with the grace of God, and so that we can be this light to the world. And so that is why our Lord uses a lot of times this analogy of light. One, it is used for our Lord, that he is a light to the world. But then our Lord uses that in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, he talks about salt and he talks about a light. And he warns us, don't hide your light behind a bushel. Let it shine before men. Because if you hide it, what good is that? I mean, what are you afraid of showing it to the entire world? And so just as we can say that the Easter season, the Paschal Vigil, it centers toward this light in the darkness, it is meant for us to also understand that we must be a light too. That just as at the time of our baptism we received a candle and signifying, here's the light, you are a light to the world. Make sure that your light shines before men. And so, it is important for us to understand that. As I say, important for us to understand what the church is trying to tell us. That she reminds us over and over again. I touched on the fact during the mission that Tenebrae, these offices that are prayed, each of the sacred triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. It is the first two offices of the breviary that the priest, the religious, would pray. It is called Tenebrae, darkness, because during this time we are anticipating that our Lord would be put away. And so again comes this imagery for us, that our Lord is this light. When our Lord is not there, when our Lord is hidden, it is darkness. But when our Lord comes out, it is light again. And that is why we rejoice tonight. We rejoice in the fact because our Lord is here. He is risen. He did as he said, and just as we see in the gospel, where the angel tells St. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary when they come, he says, well, our Lord is risen as he told you. As he said he would rise, he is gone. And so that is what we rejoice on this feast. We rejoice of the fact that our Lord is truly risen. That is why the Alleluias are back. And so contemplate and think now. Yes, it is the joyful time of Easter. I mean, truly, as it says with the baptismal promises, as we renewed them, the Lenten penances are done. But keep in mind that we must also try to understand and try to realize of how this darkness can cloud us at any time. Darkness of sin, but even darkness that just brings us away from God. Darkness of the mind, darkness of the heart. And so therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ is this true light to us. And that is what we must rejoice. And so truly let us keep in mind this great prayer that is prayed as the candle is lit, or as we walk inside to make sure that the candle stays lit, and then pray it. Let us understand what the church is trying to help us to grasp during this ceremony. That the light of Christ in glory rising, he dispels darkness from our hearts and our minds. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.